All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 213, the I Felt Guilty edition. I felt guilty about going to Hawaii without doing a CADcast about Tokyo Game Show. Of course, Wombat, you are joining us. Do you feel guilty?
I don't feel guilty about you going to Hawaii, no. I think that you deserve the vacation.
Do you feel guilty about doing a CADcast on Yom Kippur?
No, I don't feel guilty about that either because I'm not eating or drinking and I've had no coffee and I'm a joy to be around.
Shipwreck, what about you? Guilty?
No, not guilty about Hawaii or Yom Kippur. No,
yeah.
Neither one of those things affect me in the least.
I figured out that I could do, if I do this after my family goes to sleep, which is, you know, it's midnight now, that I could actually get a show up at some point before I leave. I'll probably edit it tomorrow after midnight. And, you know, we'll talk about what I saw at Tokyo Game Show over the last few days. Shipwreck got the move, the PS3 move. Were you moved by the move?
I played a lot of move over the last few days. We'll discuss that, I guess.
Yes, we'll get to that. Wombat is maybe the only one of us three who's played Halo Reach.
Yeah, I played a good chunk of it.
I played it.
Oh, you did?
All right. I'm not as far as Wombat is in, but
can you pretend?
Like 2.5 hours in.
Pretend that you didn't play it, so Wombat feels special.
That's okay. I feel special regardless.
Why?
Because I am special.
Because you took the short bus to school?
Exactly. I'm my mommy's special little snowflake.
Right. Your mom says you're cool?
Exactly.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting here in my living room, and I'm attempting to avoid the echo problems of last time. I have a giant beanbag and couch cushion behind my microphone to help deaden the echo. I don't know if that'll work or not.
I'm still debating on whether or not me having my window open is a bad idea or not.
I don't know. That's why we do tests.
I know. Can you hear it? Can you hear anything other than
me? I'm on Skype. I hear static.
Yeah, so there you go.
Great. All right, then. Well, anyway, let's get right into it, I guess. Well, first of all, I'll just say that I had a very nice birthday party that my wife set up for me at a beer garden where the Japanese waitresses wore bikini tops and like jean shorts. And it was also Garnett Lee's birthday, so it was sort of like a dual birthday party, and it was a lot of fun. Except my wife got pretty drunk, and she was supposed to like handle all like of the payment stuff. But let's just say things went very... And then she picked one of my friends to like take over for her, and he was super drunk. And he was telling people that we had to run out to pick up Ty from daycare. So he started, my friends, Kevin.
Wait, what time of day were you having this?
It was at night.
All
out
drunken fest.
It was over at, we picked up Ty at 9:30 p.m. So it was like 8 to 9:30 p.m. for us. So my friend was so drunk that who my wife put in charge was going around telling people that the bill was $15,000 for you know, 2.5 hours of drinking. And he was trying to get $15,000 out of people. So, yeah. And anyway.
What do they serve to eat at a Japanese beer garden?
They serve, there was sausages. There's edamame. You know edamame.
Yeah, that's traditional German beer garden food.
It wasn't, yeah. It was, you know, fried squid.
Again, very traditional German.
There was probably fried chicken. There was yakisoba. Yeah, it's nothing. It's not really German. They didn't call it German
beer
garden.
That with the schnitzel and the spätzle.
Sauerkraut.
Yeah, I don't even think they had German beer. There's nothing German about it, really. And they don't. I think there are German beer gardens. This just wasn't one of them. This was like a Japanese beer garden. No excuse Japanese beer garden. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, except for the fact that, you know, my wife got too drunk, and that was not fun.
What kind of beer
did
you drink?
In the elevator again?
Wait, what? What was that?
I said, did she throw up in the elevator again?
No, there was no throwing up, as far as I know. Yeah, I was supposed to be the drunk one. Meanwhile, I'm like taking care of her, trying to get her home.
What kind of beer?
It's a Japanese beer. So I had Suntory malts. Never heard of it, I know.
No, I have. I've seen the movie with Bill Murray.
Right. Yeah. All right. Anyway,
can we stop for a second just to check Wombat's audio? Because it's sounding awful on my end.
Really? Oh, it sounds okay on my end, though.
I was going to say, because you sound kind of faded on my end.
Yeah. It's probably fine, though. You're recording locally. As long as you can hear each other, it doesn't matter what it sounds like.
Okay, well, be sure to take that part out. We were stopped.
I'm not taking anything out because I got to get the hell out of town.
So. And I am rolling still. I never stopped recording.
Right.
Fun times.
So anyway, let's get right into like Tokyo Game Show. So Wednesday, EA didn't have a booth this year at TGS. What they did is they had the Tokyo Showcase, they called it, at a hotel in Shinjuku the day before TGS started. And Mark McDonald hooked me up with an invite. He's got juice. He got me in. And they presented a bunch of things, a couple of like 3DS game, and this game called My Garden, which I'm sure nobody cares about. But they're also doing like this Little Big Planet type thing called Create. Did you see anything about that?
I've been following it.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Right. Did it look even remotely interesting to anybody? It looked like Scribblenauts meets Little Big Planet, right?
It's got a little bit of the Incredible Machine stuff to it that I could kind of enjoy, I think, because you have to kind of set up the obstacles to collect all the items and get through the level, and then you unlock new items that you can place in the level. So it kind of appeals to me a little bit.
I love the Incredible Machine.
Yeah, that was a great game.
That was a great game.
I sort of like dozed off during that part. That was an exciting thing. But they also showed off the EA MMA game, which looks okay. They had some Japanese professional fighters come out and shill for it. But then they brought out Dead Space Extraction. That's the thing that comes with only the PS3 limited edition.
Well, yeah, the Wii game.
It's the Wii game in HD now that uses Move. Now, I guess the limited, it comes with, there's only a limited edition, right? Like, there's no regular edition of Dead Space Extraction. It's like they're doing one of those things, like they did with Dante's Inferno.
Well, no, it's it comes with Dead Space 2.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry, Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
But there's no like, you don't have to pay $70 for it, right?
I don't know. I think it's like included, I thought.
Right, right. While supplies last type situation.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So you get Dead Space Extraction, you get the remake of the up-res version of the Wii game. And it looked, that's what they showed. They didn't show any of Dead Space 2. They just showed the Dead Space Extraction and they had people playing it. And it looks really good. I mean, it looks good. It looks like a PS3 game. And if you like an on-rails light gun shooter, you're going to like this. It's got two-player drop-in, drop-out co-op. And you actually don't need Move to play it. You can play it with a regular controller, I guess, if you're too poor to have two or too poor to have any.
Well, the rumor has been that they're going to release this as digital and that it'll show up on Xbox Live Arcade at some point.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's all rumor.
I don't think it would be as much fun to play with a controller, though. I mean, I played it on the Wii, and it's very much on rails. Yeah, it's an on-rails shooter. It's a very good one, too. Like, it has a different pacing and much more story in it than most light gun shooters are.
Did you review it?
It looked really good on the Wii, too.
Tell me you liked it.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Cool. Well, that's a good bonus for if you buy this on the PS3. You get that for free. They didn't show any of Dead Space 2 at all. They also... I guess revealed Alice Madness Returns from
American
McGee.
McGee's Alice Madness Returns.
That's the one. And it was surprising they actually had it playable in the little demo room afterwards. It looks pretty cool. I mean, the art style is great. It's got like that really dark look to it, but there's also a really colorful side to it. So you have like the really gory, violent stuff, but you also have, you know, the magic mushroom stuff. I didn't actually play it because for some reason, like, that was the game most people were interested in because they haven't really seen anything about it before, and they only had one station running it. So
what was it running on?
It was running on PS3.
Okay, because the originals were just PC game, or the original game.
Yeah, PC only, yeah.
So. I'm 99% sure it was running on PS3. Definitely.
No, I saw that it's supposed to be on Xbox,
yeah, I mean, I thought
PS3
you were
and PC.
If it was 360 or PS3, but it looked cool. I didn't get to play it because there's just a mob of people around there, and it looked like it was pretty pretty early still, but it, I don't know. I was interested. The art style, you know, got me interested. They also, during this presentation, brought out Suda51, and they revealed his game that they're supposedly working on for a couple of years with EA, Shadows of the Damned. Did you watch? You guys didn't watch the presentation at all, right?
Like, I watched the trailer for
okay.
this.
Okay. You didn't watch like Suda come out and like tell people that he doesn't want you calling it SOTD, that you have to refer to it as DMD. I mean,
what?
The guy comes
I
off
have no idea what you're saying.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Wait, what does DMD mean?
I have no idea. The only thing I could think of was this guy seems like a total douchebag. If it stands for Suda is a douchebag, then maybe. But it, I mean, he was just like so obnoxious.
It's so
like,
how was SOTD?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't look that great to me. It's like this big reveal, and I don't know. It kind of looks like a run-of-the-mill third-person shooter. They're calling it a psychological action thriller. They said those three words about 10 times during the presentation. I don't know what's
Pat.
Yeah, it's a pat. Don't call it pat. You have to call it THL. I mean, I don't know. It didn't look that exciting to me. It didn't look that exciting to me at all. And they didn't. It wasn't playable or anything like that. It was just they showed the trailer.
Well, what did you play?
Okay, well, here we go. So after the presentations, they had an arcade set up in the back with food and everything. And the first game I played was Battlefield Vietnam, which is the add-on. It's an add-on for Bad Company 2. It's cool. I mean, if you're looking for more Battlefield, this is more Battlefield. It's four new maps, which seems a little light depending on what they're going to charge for this thing. And I'm already worried that it's going to be too much. But it's four new maps, and then you have, you know, the four character classes that you can level up all over again. There are four new classes, so new weapons, new vehicles. It's got a 60s soundtrack in it. When you drive the vehicles around, you can listen to the, you know, 60s era music. It looked cool. I liked, like, the it had a lot of brush in it, and it really changed the game a lot because you can, you know, you'll see a guy run by and you'll run after him, but then he's like gone because you just like duck behind some brush somewhere. So I think it'll get people excited who are looking for more Battlefield, but probably not bring in anybody who doesn't already have the game. And I'd say the magic price for this thing, if it's more than $15, it's going to seem like maybe you're paying too much. But I have a feeling it's going to be like $20.
It really depends on how much the game is going to cost retail when this comes out. Because if people could pick up the game new for $20 when this comes out, and then they release an add-on for $20, I think it'll feel like too much.
Yeah, I mean, because they did just come out with the, what do they call it? The Ultimate Edition. So it's now back up to 60, but you get all the content that's out there now. I don't know. I really like Battlefield a lot, so I had fun, and I played a full round of the game, and I killed a lot of people. So I was happy. I killed Brian Ashcraft a lot. He was like, was that you again, GB, with the grenade launcher and the light machine gun?
In the study.
In the study with a candlestick. After that, I played Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, which is being developed by Criterion. So it's a lot like, it feels a lot like Burnout. I like it because it's got the whole cops versus robbers thing, and the cops.
Oh, like APB.
Well, no, you do, except you never get out of the car. And
that was mean. Even right. For me, that was mean.
Well, you're allowed to mention APB.
Well, they're gone now. You know that, right?
I know. That's pretty, that didn't last very long.
No, 3 months.
I've got a sealed copy of it. That's got to be worth something, right?
Right, there's going to be a lot of sealed copies of it. There's going to be a ton of those.
Did you play as the cops or the robbers in
Need for Speed? I played as the, well, you're not robbers. You're illegal street racers. So
of course,
when you play in that, that's the Hot Pursuit mode. So when you're playing in that multiplayer mode, you have to, you know, if the racers finish the race, they win. And if the cops shut down all the racers, they win. And of course, there's the added incentive of trying to be first if you're the racer. And I was a racer, but
Were you Razor Callahan?
No, I was...
Is he in the game?
No, I don't even know who that is. Who is that?
He was the guy from one of the Need for Speed Underground series, I think.
Oh, you remember the names from that?
Well, it was that one where they tried to, they got all the actors and they did the rotoscoping on them and tried to make it really story driven.
Well, I played that one.
It just came off really hammy.
Right. I didn't mind it, actually.
I liked it. The game they need to bring him back. Actually.
But this is cool, man. And the cop cars look so good because they just take, like, you know, there's Lamborghini cop cars and they did a really nice job. It looks good. You get, like, special abilities. Like, if you're a cop, you can call in a helicopter to try to, you know, take out guys or you know, throw the spike strips and EMP and, you know, it's over the top, obviously, but I'm looking forward to that game. I'm definitely going to buy that game. No question about that. I also played Bulletstorm. Did either of you guys check that out at E3? Because that was at
E3. I put it at E3.
I didn't get actually a chance to play it, but I saw a lot of it when I was at that EA event.
I mean, I wasn't... It seems fun, and I like what they did, how you have, like, this whip, and you can pull guys over, and then they come over in slow motion, and then you shoot them in the nuts, and, you know, it calls it something cool, like... I don't know. Shot him in
nut
the nuts.
Nutball.
Nut pouch blast.
See, too bad you're going to call this Tokyo Game Show, because we could have called it Nut Pow Blast. And
we could still do it.
Could we? Nut Pow Blast?
I don't know. I probably won't remember by the time we finish.
We won't remember at all, no.
Write that down, Wombat. Make a list. I don't have a pad and paper.
Yeah, it's on my whiteboard that I keep next to the desk.
Right. So it seemed fun. Like you can pull the guys over onto like the rebar. You know that those wires that stick out of the wall, concrete walls. But I don't know. I mean, were you terribly impressed by it? Either of you guys?
I have to see it as a full game. Like for the 15 minutes I played it, I don't know if there was enough different moves that I was performing. It just seemed like I was kicking people a lot.
Right.
It was pull them towards me, kick them, shoot them.
Like, exactly.
And the level design, it's got a very Gears of War style level design where everything is kind of, I don't know, rectangular and it's kind of maze-like. I don't know if that was the level that they were showing at TGS as well that you played. But
no, it was, there's some outdoor areas. I don't know. It was okay. It seemed fun, but there's a lot of first-person shooters out there, so I don't even know. Is there a multiplayer mode? They didn't talk about that at all. I don't really know.
There's not co-op, I know that, but I don't know if there's multiplayer.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I know Dead Space 2 has multiplayer, but
right. Right. So that was pretty much the EA event. They had little hamburgers. Those were good. And they showed those other games that I mentioned, like Create, and I don't know, that was pretty much it, I think. Later that night was a Capcom event that I couldn't get a ticket to that one. But that's where they revealed the DMC trailer. Everyone with their initials. So yeah, the Ninja Theory is doing the new Devil May Cry game. That's the guys that did Heavenly Sword, which I liked. I liked Heavenly Sword. I thought that was fun. Either of you guys play that?
Yeah, I played it. It was a good 4.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, for a launch game, I guess it was pretty good.
No, I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, it was fun. And I mean, yeah, people are really sort of up in arms about the new Dante character design. And
am I wrong for kind of liking it?
Yeah, I think. I mean,
I'm wrong for liking it.
Yeah, I think you are. I mean, it's not good.
See, I kind of like
it. It's no worse than the other one.
Yeah, I think the only difference between that one and the other one is that if they released the same photo but gave him white hair, no one would know the difference.
Yeah, I can't figure out if it's the haircut that I don't like or the clothing that he's wearing or both.
I like the clothes. It's that, you know, do you have the album Quadrophenia, the Who album, Quadrophenia?
Not on me.
Well, yeah, but he looks like the guy on the cover.
Oh, I can't figure out what he's wearing. What is he wearing? What is that?
He's wearing like a British punk outfit from like 1972.
He looks like David Bowie. He looks like he's dressing like David Bowie.
Yeah, I like the red Dante coat.
I don't know.
So you like the androgynous version of him dressed in leather?
Yes, that is what I like. I like leather and white hair. I don't know. I just you know, the most important thing is the gameplay. If they get the gameplay right, then that's, you know, that's the big thing. Because I was pretty burned out on Devil May Cry, and I think a lot of people were, and that's why they're doing this. That's why they're changing it up. But
yeah,
I kind
of like the outfit. I mean, you know, yeah, he doesn't look, he's not wearing the big red coat. He looks like he went shopping at Hot Topic. But,
right. I couldn't figure out, like, does that thing, it looks like a cut-off sweatshirt with a hood or something. I don't even know. I can't even tell what it
is. I was like, is it a winter coat, maybe?
I don't know. It's not
great.
Did
they change the looks of the guy that looks exactly like him from the last game?
Oh, he may not be in it. I think maybe they got rid of that guy.
Right.
Other guy, I believe is his name.
Right. So, I don't know. We'll see. Let's wait till we see some actual gameplay and...
Yeah,
because
technically the game doesn't exist yet, so it really doesn't matter. There is no game, so who cares?
Right, right. There's CG.
Yeah, there's a CG trailer, which, you know, I can make a CG trailer about something and call
it
a game. Well,
do it. I would like to take you up on that offer.
Maybe not me personally. I meant me as right. The royal me.
If you had, like, you know, $300,000 sitting around, you could make a CG trailer.
Exactly, but it still wouldn't be a game.
Right. So, yeah, it would be the same game.
Yeah, it wouldn't make my point any less valid.
All right, so that was all. This is all pre-show stuff. The show starts on Thursday. And also, I have to mention that the Screw Attack guys, Stuttering Craig and Angel, came into town. And they actually came into town late on Wednesday. So they missed the EA thing. Their flight got all messed up. But we went out for a nice dinner, a little Okinawan food. You may remember Okinawa from such movies as The Karate Kid Part 2.
Two.
Which was filmed in Hawaii. And but they had a good time there. They liked the food. And I took them around. They're staying at the hotel. They're staying at your hotel, Ship. The hotel that you'll be staying at next month. They're breaking it in for you.
Oh, good. I hope they change the sheets by then.
Right. There's only one room. And you'll be staying in the same
one
room.
Set of sheets. Bring your own sheets.
Right. Yeah, there's a reason why it's so cheap. So so we went to the show together on Thursday, but they sort of went off and did their own thing because they have, like, the big camera and they're, you know, doing more work than I am.
They do serious work over there.
Craig works really, really hard. Like, really hard. His phone, his calendar alarm went off on his phone while we were, you know, during the show. And, of course, it was all messed up because of the time difference. But he actually has an alarm on his phone going off telling him when to go home because otherwise he gets in trouble with his wife. I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but that's the kind of hardworking guy.
I'm sure that his wife listens to every episode of the CADcast.
Well, I'm just saying that's the type of guy, you know, he has to do that. Otherwise, he's going to stay up all night working. So, yeah, that alarm goes off at, you know, 3:30 p.m. and he goes home. No, just kidding. So checked out the Sony booth. Sony booth was very popular. A lot of Move stuff, as you could imagine. A lot of Move stuff. A lot of 3D stuff. That's what they're pushing. Shipwreck, you got the Move in. You got the review Move package.
I did.
Does that come in like a special, like, case or something? Commemorative case?
No. I believe it's a loaner set. So I think these have been sent out to other outlets and then they get sent back to Sony and then over to me and then I send it back. And,
oh, okay.
So it came with a camera, which that was sealed and brand new. And it's still that way because I already had a camera. So I'm just using the one that I already had. And then it came with two of the Move controllers. And also the games that I got were Sports Champions, iPet, Start the Party, and Kung Fu Rider.
No navigation controller?
No, none of the games that they sent used the navigation controller. So there'd be no reason to send it.
Right, okay.
I already put a review up for Kung Fu Rider. That game is not very good, and it's really telling that they just wanted to get some games out on the shelves because that is clearly a PSN title.
Oh.
It took me 90 minutes to see everything in the game, and it doesn't, like, it's a lot like what Pain is. Like, I would say it's on the same level as a game like Pain, where it's fun in like very small doses and it's kind of stupid fun, but there's no reason for it to be a Move game. It uses every button on the Move controller. So that's includes the four standard face buttons. That includes the new Move button. That includes the trigger. And then you're doing all these different button presses while you're doing motion controls.
It's like impossible to do. It sounds like
it's not impossible. It's just not like
necessary
for not it necessary. To be on a like, Move. There's controller. No reason not why fun. This is a Move. Like, yeah, there's no reason why I should have to yank the controller up in the air to jump. Like, jumping's just a button press. There's no valid reason for me to have to move my hand up in the air.
If this game was on a controller and it was like a $10 PSN title,
it's a lot better game. Then.
It's a lot better game.
Yeah. But we probably wouldn't be talking about it.
Just like you said, they did it because they just needed some games out there. All right, so that game sucks. What else? What about the other ones?
Then I checked out Start the Party, which is a lot like the old iToy games on the PS2.
Okay, I like those.
It's just like, yeah, it's just a mini game collection where you're swatting bugs with a tennis racket.
Do you get to punch ninjas?
No punching ninjas. You get to slice fruit with a pirate sword, and that you get some whack-a-mole and that type of stuff.
Any fireworks? Yeah, they have the fireworks game with the plunger?
No fireworks game.
Oh, that was the best.
Yeah, so there's only 20 games included in it.
That's
so
a lot,
you
I think.
See everything. Well,
but some of them, they're really
they're
simple
real quick
games.
Though. I mean, they're really quick and they're really simple. Yeah,
right.
So you see everything pretty early on, and the weird thing about it is it's obviously supposed to be like a multiplayer party game, but it only supports one controller. So it's one person does the mini game and then they pass it off to the next person. So if you have four players playing it, there's a lot of downtime in between. But it's fun. It works well. It shows what the PS Move is capable of. And again, it just seems like I have a review written for this and it'll be up soon too. And I would say that should have come in at about a $20 title instead of $40.
Right.
And you'd have fun with that. I tried Sports Champions, which I think is the clear winner out of the games that I've played.
Mm-hmm.
It's the champion.
It is the champion. That has six games on it, and the one that really stands out is Disc Golf, which is playing golf with a frisbee. It just feels really natural. The courses are fun. It seems like that could have been turned into a full time, like a full size title on its own if it had was fleshed out a little bit more.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. The archery is a lot of fun, but to really take advantage of it, you need two Move controllers. Because in one in each hand, you can play it with one controller, but it's just not as I didn't have as much fun with it
right.
with one controller. You're not doing as much. The same for the gladiator battle, sword and shield battle. That's more fun if you have two controllers, and that one works okay. But I didn't really find myself wanting to go back to it. The same type of stuff with bocce. That works fine. It's just kind of boring.
Finally, bocce.
The game you've been waiting for.
Oh, my all my letters.
Bocce balls.
And then the other two games are volleyball, which is kind of lame because you're not moving your person. You're just performing motions to hit the ball. And table tennis, which some people I've seen their impressions and they really like table tennis. I am not so hot on it because sometimes I feel like it works really well and you can certainly put spin on the ball and everything. But other times it seems like it's recognizing that I'm trying to tap the ball when I'm really trying to just bring my backswing back to hit the ball.
I see.
So there's a lot of like hits that I'm not trying to hit it. But I think like archery and disc golf kind of carry that title and it does feel like a really good Wii. Like this feels better than any like of the Wii Sports type of stuff.
Wombat, what do you always say about shit shoes?
Exactly. Just because it's, you know, the best piece of crap doesn't mean it's not a piece of crap.
I don't know. Sports Champions is fun. I mean, it's certainly not, I don't think it's worth buying the whole bundle for right now. Like there's not enough content out for the Move at the currently, especially not at the price.
Have you checked out iPet yet?
Okay. I checked out iPet this morning. The issue I have with iPet, there's a couple different things. You have to reorient the camera specifically for iPet because for my TV stand, it's a little bit too high off the ground. So I have to move the camera down to a lower shelf. And then you have to rotate the camera down so that it's looking at the ground because that's where you play around with the iPad. That's the first issue, is that's just kind of cumbersome to me. I don't want to be switching around where my camera is all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm already annoyed.
Yeah, exactly. And then I have a lot of light that comes in during the mornings in my family room. Like, it's
don't brag.
I have a huge window in the back.
What a bragger.
That what? Yeah, I'm a bragger. I have a lot of natural light through my huge windows in my house. And that was causing a lot of recognition problems with iPet, similar to what we saw with the Eye of Judgment back in the day.
Speaking of problems, Ty just woke up.
That's all right. Invite him on.
Let's see if Mrs. GB takes care of it. That should be interesting.
Does she know what room is his?
I was waiting for that joke. I was waiting for it. You delivered.
I did. Thank you.
Oh, here she goes. I hear movement.
So, what's going on? Is he coming out?
Well, this I have the baby monitor in here, so I can hear it.
Oh.
It's good times.
Oh, I hear him now too. Yeah, that's good.
Oh yeah, that's what you want.
Yeah,
that's what you want.
But iPet. I have to try it at night because it's just not working. I'm not going to be able to play that in the morning, which is kind of disappointing. Like it kind of takes away the fun of it, which then immediately after that, I was like, well, is this going to be a major issue with all Move games in significant light? And so I put Sports Champions back in and I seem to be able to play Frisbee golf just fine in the morning. So
it's a game by game thing.
Yeah, it's a game-by-game thing, and I don't know. iPet wasn't doing much for me.
Is it the last of the ones you have? I have one Move title I want to get out of the way.
Yeah, that's all the Move games I've played.
I played the fight Lights Out. Me and Lone Esteban got to try that out. And
That's the prison one, right?
It's like the fighting, just like you're like one-on-one fighting with people.
And yeah, they showed that at E3, didn't they?
I think they did. It's the fights are so long. It didn't really seem that responsive. You have to, there's all these buttons, like Shipwreck was saying, there's all these buttons on the remote and you have to push the buttons to do different things. Like why should that have, why do they have that?
Yeah, that it's a weird kind
it's,
of,
it's boxing.
So basically you're saying that all they're doing is replacing the analog stick with motion control. But kinda. The actual buttons are still there for the same purpose.
I mean, if I'm fighting a real person, I don't have buttons. So why do I need to, like, I don't know. It just, and it's hard to push those buttons.
I don't know. You know how to push my buttons.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like you got to find the button on the thing. It's not as easy as holding a controller. You're holding a stick with buttons on it while you're trying to move it around. It's just like, I don't know.
And the buttons are... Since they're the four face buttons that you're used to, but instead of a diamond shape, now they're in a square shape.
Yeah. It's
and
just
the top
really
ones
weird.
Are really a reach. Like the,
yeah,
the
it's
circle
awkward.
And the triangle.
The whole thing was awkward. The fight was like way too long. I'm fighting this one guy. It's, you know, how many times can I grab the guy and I punch him in the stomach or face like 10 times in a row? I mean, well, who am I fighting here? It's ridiculous. I think the game would be a lot more fun if it was like just like a beat 'em up and you have like a lot of guys coming at you and, you know, maybe it takes five hits before you knock the guy down and then you move on to the next guy instead of fighting the same guy for like 5 minutes.
Could you tell, was it reacting to how hard you were swinging? Like, could you throw harder punches depending on how hard you swung?
It didn't seem like it. It didn't seem responsive. I think it's pretty early in development. But
I don't know how early. It's supposed to come out this year.
Not this year. Oh, it is? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it's on the Amazon release list for like November, I think. November.
There's some pictures on my Flickr page. You know, Chief, I'll put them in the show. You can watch me look like I'm going to die by the end of it. But I don't know. Nothing too exciting there. I guess we'll do more Sony. I mean, I did play a lot of Sony stuff. Checked out MotorStorm 3. That's like the new MotorStorm that's more like Split Second and Burnout than, you know, racing on a dirt track. You're in like the ruins of cities. I think, isn't it called Armageddon? MotorStorm Armageddon? I don't even know what it's called.
Why not? That sounds like
It is now.
It was pretty fun. I got to say, I actually got to try it in regular 2D and 3D.
What was better?
The 3D in MotorStorm and in the other MotorStorm demos I've seen in 3D are good, and this is also good. The 3D actually adds something. I don't know if it adds like so much that I think to myself I need a 3D TV. But to me, the problem with MotorStorm was never like the driving or anything. It was there's just not that much to do. You know, you run around a track a couple times and you can't really customize the cars. You're just like unlocking skins. It was never really, I just got bored. They've added a couple things. They really actually did make it like Split Second, because like at one point I jump over a ramp and like the square button pops up on the screen. I hit the square button and like a building blows up and takes out some of the guys I'm racing against. And all that stuff looks really, really cool. You know, everything about it looks cool. I just don't know if I'm going to stay interested in it because there's just not that much to do compared to all these other racing games that give you stuff, other stuff to do besides, you know, going in a circle. But still, it was fun. It was fun.
It's MotorStorm Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. What did I say? Armageddon. Okay, I was close. Same thing. Started with an A.
You know, if you actually looked into the games you were going to talk about before I talked about them, you wouldn't make these kind of stupid mistakes.
Well, I have to say, in my defense, on the actual game, it said MotorStorm 3 title, you know, what do they say? Pending or whatever.
Maybe that's what they're going to call it.
Title Pending?
Title Pending.
In Japan.
In Japan, it's called Title Pending.
I also got to check out SOCOM 4. Which is very different than any SOCOM game I've ever played. If you just told me what it was, I mean, if you just showed me the game and there was no, you know, placard above it with the game's title on it, I would have never guessed it was SOCOM. It just doesn't look like SOCOM at all. The big character models, you know, there's a cover system. It was fun and it looked good, but it's
so people might actually play this one? Is that what you're saying?
Me?
I mean, it's like a SOCOM game people will play?
But maybe the people who are into SOCOM will be confused and not like it. I don't know.
Does it have a single player component?
Yes. Okay. And you have like squad mates, and it was fun. It worked well. It looked pretty good. I was surprised that it was SOCOM. But I guess and that also has move support. I didn't try the move support because
you don't care.
That brand is a tough sell, I think, now. Like, it's just, like, it's got a lot of competition.
Right.
I think
everybody moved on to Call of Duty and now Medal of Honor coming back and
totally,
Battlefield.
Dude.
And
it's hard. It's tough because, I mean, people were really into SOCOM when it came out for the PS2 because it was really, like, the first console.
It came with the modem.
Game. It came with the modem, right. It had a headset, too. I mean, it was like a whole thing.
I still
thing.
Have that headset.
Did it come with the modem?
It came with the network adapter, and it came with the headset.
Both it came with? Or there was different...
No, wait, no. It didn't come with the... No, you had to buy that separately. But it was
came
the
with
game...
the headset.
It came with the headset, and the network adapter was separate, but it was at the time the only game you could... It was the first game that came out for it.
And then Tribes, right? Aerial Assault. Yeah. Anyway, but... It was good. I was surprised, pleasantly surprised by SOCOM. Let's see. What else did I play here? Oh, well, we might as well finish off the Sony stuff. I checked out the Sly Cooper 3 collection. Not in 3D. I just checked out the 2D version. It didn't
with
look
or without
that...
move.
No, Sly has move too?
It's on the box it says move compatible.
I don't know. Well, I didn't do move. It doesn't look that great, I got to be honest. It really, I don't know. It still looks like a PS2 game, but brighter to me. It just, I don't know. I don't think people are going to be too excited about this. unless the 3D is like ridiculous and you just need to have Sly Cooper in 3D. I was sort of disappointed in that. But I did check out Killzone 3 in 3D, thanks to my friend Brad at Sony, who got me a chance to play that. I got to play the level with the jetpacks, and there's like a little bit of light platforming in the beginning, and you're jumping from iceberg to iceberg. You know, and the jetpack is pretty limited, like you're not jumping very far. But it looks really good with like the ocean effects underneath you, you know, hitting up against the icebergs, and I don't know, it seems pretty cool. I could deal with the 3D, sort of. Another problem is when they demo these games, because there's like space constraints, you're sitting really close to the TV with the 3D glasses, and I have a feeling that if we were like 5 feet farther back, it would have looked better. But they just don't have the space for that. But I don't know. Looks cool. If you like Killzone and you like 3D.
I like Killzone.
It has both of those things. And I think that's it for Sony. They did, at their booth, they did announce the Eco and the Shadow of the Colossus HD and 3D collection that's coming out. I didn't see the presentation, but all they did was they showed the trailer, I think. The game wasn't actually on the show floor. Did you watch the trailer?
I did. It looked like those two games.
Did it? I mean, were they just showing the PS2 version? It didn't look like that exciting or better.
It looked like those two games to me. I don't know what it was supposed to look like.
It didn't seem like that much in HD. I don't know. It looked like Sly Cooper, like slightly better.
Well, I think that's what it's going to be. I mean,
yeah,
they're going to up-res it and
make it 3D.
Maybe work on the frame rate or whatever, and then
supposedly
put some 3D filters on it.
The ending is supposedly a little different for Eco. I loved Eco; it was like an awesome game. Shadow of the Colossus, I didn't finish.
Well, I feel like Shadow of the Colossus had long loading times, or am I making that up?
It might have. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think that's why I stopped playing. I was going to say, but that's something they could fix. I'm like...
The frame rate wasn't great.
Yeah.
I remember.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But I'll
give it... And it's $40, so I'll give it a shot. Actually, I would buy that. It's been so long since I've played either of those. Like, God of War, I wasn't interested in that collection. But this, I think I'm interested in. And that is all the Sony stuff that I saw.
That's exciting.
There was a lot to see. And their booth was really crowded all the time. It wasn't a great setup there, actually, but wasn't that comfortable. The Microsoft booth was very comfortable because there was not a lot of people in it compared to the other booths. They did have a lot of Kinect stuff.
Any girls wearing Kinect underwear?
Did you like my photos?
Your photos and your video? I'm pretty sure that's all you did there was stand in front of that booth.
I hung out a lot at the Microsoft booth because it was more comfortable, because there was more breathing room.
It had nothing to do with the women in the underwear.
And I like the girls. I got to admit, I did like the Microsoft girls. The Sony girls are more classy. They wear very sort of conservative outfits. The Microsoft girls, whoever's in charge of designing those outfits, they really...
if you wanted to spend time with classy girls, you'd go home.
Right. Yeah. They've captured my imagination. They had these... Some of the girls were wearing shorts that were sort of low-rise, and they were wearing Xbox 360 underwear. And you could see the band, like the band and part of the underwear when they would move around. And it said Xbox 360 on the underwear band. I liked it. Sue me. I liked watching the girls play Kinect. I spent a lot of time watching them play Kinect. They also, one of the big things at the booth was Halo Reach, and people were actually waiting online to play it, despite the fact that it's already out in Japan, just like it's out in America. Both of you guys played it. I don't even have it yet.
I did. I'm pretty close to finish with the single player, based on what I know, but I've been trying to stay away from knowing too much. But it's fun, and I guess things that are worth noting, it looks great. I think... Shipwreck would agree with me. I think it looks really good. It's definitely Halo. There is that part of me that misses Master Chief, but...
Right, you know. Yeah. Like, it's weird. Like, I just want to play as Master Chief.
I had
Chief
no
now.
Connection.
Like, I liked the ODST, but that was a nice departure for a little while. But, like, Bungie's last game is, like, I kind of want to play as Master Chief.
I know, it's kind of weird. It almost feels like whatever you would think that Bungie would want to kind of tie up what happened to Master Chief. Because he's still out there floating in space, right? Isn't that what happens at the end of Halo 3?
He's kinda, like, back in stasis or whatever.
He's back in stasis.
Wake me up when something happens.
Yeah, he turns into Ripley at the end of Alien.
I never was interested in the story in Halo at all. I never understood what was going on. I didn't give a shit about Master Chief. I mean, he had no personality.
See,
but nobody.
I kind of liked... I think that in many ways, Master Chief is a throwback to the 80s superhero, you know, action movie star. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's Sylvester Stallone. He's Master Chief. And I think it was very... In many ways, also, he's very... American, so to speak, is from a game-making standpoint, and also in many ways very Microsoft. And to kind of abandon it in a way I feel like they have, it just is surprising to me. And I actually kind of like it for that symbolism that he entails. That, and he was just a guy with guns that would shoot people. That's what was great about it. I mean, he didn't need the impetus. It was the same impetus as, you know, what do you need to know about Mario in order to play a Mario game? You need to know why he's jumping on mushrooms?
But Mario doesn't have a whole big story with cutscenes and, you know, a whole, like, lore to it.
The cutscenes are, in Halo games, for me at least, it's just, oh, look what they could do with computer graphics these days.
Okay, now but some people are really into the story, and that I just never
And there
understood.
Are books and things,
I like the story. I mean, because with Master Chief, you also get Cortana.
That is true.
Like it's a package deal.
You get the sidekick, in a way. So there is.
Yeah, whereas in Reach, you're basically playing the same type of characters, Master Chief. You're Spartan, but there's other Spartans running around, and you're having to deal with them, and they're just calling you Six. It's just not as. Right.
It's not
as
yeah,
enjoyable.
It's not the same. It's you don't feel like you're the super badass that you are in Halo 1, 2, and 3.
Did you try the multiplayer at all?
No, I haven't even had a chance. I want to finish the single player first, and, you know, I lost the day on Thursday, and so I've only had 2 days, really, to play it.
Long Island Railroad.
Took me 5 hours to get home.
Sweet. Well, Super Programmer John was saying that they've instituted a new sort of matchmaking feature where you can say, like, it's a psychological profile or something of the players. So you can basically say, like, I don't want to play with people who are going to call me the N-word, more or less. And then he said it worked, actually. Like, he picked people who, like, don't talk. He chose that, and he got people who don't talk. So that's a good feature.
Yeah, I'm about 2.5 hours into the story, and I'm really enjoying it still. Like,
oh,
it's,
cool.
It's still a great game.
I'm about six, seven hours in, so.
Right. Well, I have to admit, I did check out to see if there was a GameStop near near where we're staying in Hawaii, and there's one like 10 minutes away.
It's definitely good. It's definitely great, actually. I wouldn't even, you know, I don't have to qualify
really
it. Don't just because we're nitpicking about Master Chief doesn't mean we think it's bad.
I'm looking forward to picking it up.
I definitely think
I'll play some multiplayer
Hawaii
with you.
And stay in your hotel and play Halo. Like, that seems like a really good idea.
Yeah. Right, I should buy an Xbox.
What's there to see in paradise? Nothing.
Right. I think, yeah. I can wait till I get home. I'll buy it there. I don't have it, so I'll buy it there, and I'll bring it home. It'll work out.
You can read the manual.
By the way, speaking of GameStop, let's thank GameStop quickly for sponsoring the show and telling people that you can save $20 off an order of $100 or more with coupon code 20DOWN. And I think you can use that with some of the Move accessories if you're so inclined. I think I read about that on CAG. So, yeah, coupon code 20DOWN gets you $20 off a $100 or more order on GameStop.com. Online only. Represent. Beautiful. Should I bring some of my my games to trade in on the plane?
That would be funny.
Yeah. Probably not a good idea.
No, you'd be disappointed with what you got back.
Maybe, but they're just taking up space. But no.
Well, you could trade them in for Halo. I mean, at least then you would be getting something in return.
I might actually look into that. I mean, I'd like to get rid of some of the stuff that I don't play anyway.
I think you get like an extra 25% trading credit in store with for if you use that
for Halo?
Towards Halo, yeah.
Well, I might check that out. If you look at my bookshelf where I keep my games on, it was a really cheap bookshelf. The shelves are all warped. They're all bent because there's too many games on them. That's how I roll. Warped bookshelves, too many games. It's a tough life. Let's see. What else we see at Microsoft? Oh, I played Gun Loco. That's the Square Enix third-person shooter that has, I guess, elements of parkour in it. It's pretty bad, I gotta say. It's messed up.
It's not Vanquish.
It's hard to control. Like, you know, Vanquish is, like, very precise. And I wasn't crazy about Vanquish, but this kind of looks cool when you're watching somebody play it, I guess, who's really good. And then when you try and you can't actually shoot anybody, and it takes, like, a million shots to take somebody down, and you have to run into people to melee them, and
Is it all multiplayer, or is there a single player?
No, it was single players. I played single player only. The guy is telling me what to do, where to run, and I'm just supposed to run past the gun, and I'm still dying. I don't know. It seemed pretty bad to me. Maybe it's got a long way to go. I think, like, these Japanese companies, they're like, all right, nobody wants our Japanese games anymore, Japanese-style games, so let's make Western-style games. But then they don't make them good. It's a problem. So, yeah, the booth girls dressed up as cowboys for Gun Loco were very nice. That I was into. The game, not so much. I also tried out Comic Jumper. I think that's what it's called, right? The Xbox Live Arcade game?
That's right.
That's right, Comic Jumper.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's a...
No? You don't like it?
It does look cool because it looks like a comic. But it's just a really simple beat 'em up, like super simple. So like there's like two, I guess, levels you can play on. One is you're just running along and you're kicking and punching people into the background, but like really simple. Like it makes Scott Pilgrim seem deep. And then you'll see like this really cool cutscene where he jumps out of one comic book panel into out of the page into another one. And now you can use your guns and you can jump. But you can't punch. I don't know. It's really simple. Not exciting. And, wow. I think that's it. That's everything that I saw and played. There's not a lot of stuff at Tokyo Game Show. Not a lot of stuff that I care about, I guess, maybe is more accurate. It seems really small compared to E3, even though they get a lot more people to show up. In terms of actual like games on the floor, it's way smaller. But
there's probably a lot of PSP and DS stuff too, right?
There was a lot of PSP. I don't know. There wasn't really a lot of anything. I gotta say, there was a lot more empty space there than there was last year. It's getting smaller. Like it's occupying less space in the convention center. But I had a good time because I had a lot of people to hang out with. And on Thursday night, was it Thursday? It was Thursday. Microsoft had a party at an Irish pub, a Japanese-Irish pub, where they served Chinese food.
That's very confusing, yes. So
it was really confusing. But it was a lot of fun. And it was basically like everybody that I knew was there. We actually all like sort of came together. It was really a lot of fun, a great time. And Aaron Greenberg was there, and he said hi. And he introduced me to Spencer.
Phil Spector's in prison, isn't he?
Did he shoot somebody or threaten somebody?
No, he shot his wife.
Right. Phil didn't do that. Phil Spencer.
You're
didn't
saying Xbox's Phil Spencer shot and killed his wife?
No, he gave the keynote, though, at TGS. And so Aaron introduced me, and... I didn't ask him why we didn't get a copy of Halo Reach for review.
You should have.
I thought it would have been a little awkward.
No, I would have loved to have heard his answer. He probably would have said, I don't know, you probably should have.
I don't know. I didn't feel like it was appropriate timing. I was drinking his beer and eating his Irish, Japanese, Chinese food.
I so want Irish, Japanese, Chinese food. I don't know exactly what it would be. But I kind of want that.
It was They had like chili shrimp. It's pretty good.
Rolled in potato and deep fried, because that would kind of be, I think, the combination. That would be.
No, it wasn't really Irish. There was nothing Irish about it, but it was really a lot of fun, and I thanked Aaron via Twitter later. I bet you nobody else thanked him for the party. I bet you I was the only one. I bet most people who are in like the games media just expect that there's going to be a party and don't even think about it. But I, being a prisoner in my own house, I'm very grateful for any excuse to stay out late and have beer. And I played foosball, which was also exciting. And I don't know. I think that's it for the Tokyo Game Show stuff. We can do some CAG bag.
Sure. Ask away. What do we got? Anything good?
There were like four or five questions in the CAG bag about the Giant Bomb subscription stuff. Does somebody want to give a little brief, a very quick summary, a super quick summary of that? That's not me.
Or me, because I hardly understand it.
Okay, this is what I got, because I listened to their subscription podcast version, like the one about the subscription. When you subscribe, basically the only difference between a subscription and non-subscription service on the site is with a subscription, you get access to HD videos, the ability to download videos. I believe there's some iPhone stuff, but since I don't have an iPhone, I really didn't listen to it. And there may be some, like a live show once a week for subscribers only.
Well, the podcast thing was what people got.
Well, the podcast thing, they changed. It's now just the way it is. There's no difference.
Oh, they got rid of that.
They got rid of that. Yep.
Okay. All right. So then we don't even need to talk about it.
There really isn't much we need to talk about. That's what I'm saying. There really isn't much to talk about. It's, I mean, if you want, basically what they're saying is that if you really like the site, help support it by donating some money. And
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I sort of, you know, even though I get jealous and stuff, I wish them all the best, really. If they can, hey, more power to them. If you can get a lot of people to give you money, then go for it. But I just wonder, like, how come there's no ads on the site? They can't sell ads?
Well, you know, it was funny because I had this conversation with somebody in the business.
How could that be?
This week, not actually in the digital business. And right. We were talking, you know, if they really wanted to do something, and you know, again, I don't work there, I have no idea, but if they do get a decent amount of money in this initial subscription, you know, but they find that they don't know if they're going to be able to retain that model in a year when people would need to subscribe again,
or this monthly subscriptions also. Yeah, monthly, yeah, go on.
Yeah, but what they may want to consider doing is taking that money that they're getting and investing that into, you know, finding a really experienced digital ad salesperson. They do exist out there.
I don't think it's a problem of them not being able to get ads. I think they choose not to have ads.
I don't.
If you think of why Giant Bomb was formed in the first place, in that Jeff Gerstmann incident where Kanan Lynch had ads on GameSpot,
right,
and
right.
That influences your content.
But they ran, and they did run ads. I've seen ads on there.
And ads don't, yeah, but I think they try not to. Ads don't necessarily influence content unless you let them. Trust me, it's not that black and white. It's not, we're not going to run ads because if we run ads, then we have to do what the advertiser sells, especially on what they're doing. And if they had someone that really knew the digital business, not the video game business, the digital business, they wouldn't have those conflicts because they wouldn't necessarily have to run those video game ads. They could be running, Cheetos or whatever.
It seems weird to me. But hey, you know what? Whatever. You know, whatever they can get, they should get. I mean, yeah. They have a lot of fans. People love the podcast, and if they want to give them money, that's great.
I think they're trying to do everything without ads.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. I just, you know, from a personal standpoint, I don't think the no ad model is a better model.
I don't know. I wonder how they really feel, like if they think they feel bad, because they said basically they're out of money. Pretty much, right? That they run through their money. They had investors. They basically ran through it. I don't think
they shouldn't have lumped it all into that MMO about cops and robbers.
I don't think they feel great about asking their fans to pay. I mean, it's hard to feel great about that, especially when most people are used to getting podcasts for free and stuff on the internet for free. So they're probably not ecstatic about having to do that, but hey, it's great that they have fans that'll pay, and they did. They got a lot of people to pay, right?
Well, they were their goal. I think it was, you know, to get the podcast for free. Basically, their idea was to have, if they could get 5,000 subscribers in like 4 days or whatever it was.
Oh, okay, and they got it.
And they got it. So
that's great. Good. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, no, it's definitely it's a great site, and they should be. It should still be there and be successful. So.
Were you thinking the whole time, like, how much we should charge?
No.
No. Really?
No, not at all.
Good. Good.
I stand by the ad-supported format.
Right. I like the ads. I'll take what I can get. Exactly. But I don't, you know. I'm lucky that I don't have to ask people to give us money who visit the site. And I've had people try to give money. People want. Remember when I did that April Fool's joke with the CAG premium and all that shit? People signed up for it. A lot of people signed up for like the ridiculous plan, the $100 a year plan, where I give you a tour of Tokyo and whatever else I said I would do for you. I got a lot of emails, people signing up for that, reserving their platinum status. But I'm lucky that I don't have to do that stuff. Not everybody's that lucky, and not everybody's that handsome, right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, anything else that we need to touch on? Can I go to sleep?
You can go to sleep. Oh, the time is done. We'll talk to you when you get back from Hawaii.
Excellent, excellent. It's 1:11 in the morning, so yes, I don't know what that means, but that sounds good. So thank you, everybody, for supporting us with your love and not your money. But you can send money to Wombat.
Yeah, go for it. I won't turn it away.
We'll take your love.
I'll take either one, to be honest. Right. I'd be happy both ways.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bread's done.
Yeah!
We certainly invite you all to stay.
What do you think?
I'm a New York City girl. It's a little too quiet around here for me.